Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, fresh off the love train, welcoming you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial or on the internet via streaming audio, which means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on Listen Live in the upper right-hand side of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left, and then Listen Online, and you will be all set up to stream the show. And, golly, technically, it's Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me, and Talk with Your Animals on this side or the other, and Personal Awareness Coaching with Natasha Venter. But, you know, we are at the discretion of Divine Mother because she schedules the show. And she said, we're doing something else, and we're going to do something special today. You regulars will know her name well, because sometimes she's here all the time. And when we were fighting to save the elephants, she was here all the time. I think the last time we chatted might have had something to do with pandas and stuff. I'm not sure. We'll find out. But anyway, welcoming back to Animal World, I think my favorite animal activist and advocate, does such phenomenal work for the animals, co-founder of Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Animals, it's Aline Fortgang. Good morning, Aline, and welcome back to Animal World.
Well, good morning. Oh, you're too kind.
Oh, you know I adore you.
There are amazing animal advocates in the Seattle Puget Sound region. We're very blessed to have many of them here working hard.
Yeah, and you've been at this for a very, very long time. How long has Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants? When did you start that organization?
We started in 2006.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you've been around quite a while.
But actually, NARN was started working on the before I came on to the issue. NARN tried to get Bamboo, who was sent to Point Defiant Zoo and Aquarium.
Ah, that's right.
Tried to get Bamboo back because she was so miserable down there. And no, they tried to get Bamboo located to the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee. But instead, Woodland Park Zoo brought her back to Seattle, even though they stated that, you know, there were problems with her here, which is why they sent her away. But they brought her back anyway. And then I came on soon after that thinking, oh, it's a no-brainer. Elephants don't belong in a zoo, especially not this zoo that had 1 acre, the wrong climate. The elephants separated because they didn't get along. I mean, it was a no-brainer, I thought.
Yeah.
11 years later, 12 years later, well, even now, all these years later, still working to get Bamboo out of now the Oklahoma City Zoo.
Yeah, because I guess to kind of encapsulate it all, how long ago was it when Bamboo and Chai left Seattle?
It was 2015, so 6 years ago.
6 years ago. Wow. 6 years ago.
I know.
And of course, we were talking all the time because there was a big effort on the part of Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants, and then you mentioned NARN. Now, NARN is Northwest Animal Rights Network, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And so a big push, and the push was to try to get a Woodland Park Zoo instead of moving these elephants to another zoo, because it had come, everybody was waking up in the Seattle area, and everyone was realizing that these elephants didn't belong in Woodland Park Zoo for all the reasons that Aline just stated. There's not enough space. It's the wrong climate. There's not enough space. I mean, look at elephants walk hundreds of miles.
Yes.
They walk and they walk and they have to walk to keep their legs and their feet healthy. And all. It's part of what makes them elephants. And they have to be able to walk and to move. And they're herd animals. They, you know, it's elephants in solitary is like having a horse by yourself. You ask Tina, what if we talk to her? You can't have one horse. I mean, you can, but they're not happy. You know, you have to, herd animals have to be together. So all kinds of reasons why they shouldn't be here. There were offers for the elephants to go to, because there's more than one elephant sanctuary in this country now.
Right.
And there were agreements and there was help involved and all of that. And at the time, this is going to kind of bring us into our later discussion and everything we're going to talk about, that NARN and Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants could work with the city of Seattle, because the city of Seattle, there was some kind of arrangement in the agreement between the city and the zoo that the city could intervene and say, no, you send these elephants to sanctuary, not to another zoo. They go to sanctuary. So all of that was being worked on, and it was going to happen. I believe it would have. But because the zoo, powers that be, didn't want this to happen.
Yeah.
It was shocking. They snuck the elephants out of town in the middle of the night to drive through snowstorms and all kinds of stuff to get them out of here before we could force the transfer.
Well, I'd just like to correct that. They really didn't do it under the cover of night. They did it at 6 o'clock. It was too light. It's kind of involved, but what we're fighting for.
Let me just finish a bit. They took them out of here. They went off to Oklahoma Zoo, and I don't know if you would agree with it, Aline, but it's almost like the Oklahoma Zoo is worse than the Woodland Park.
Because, oh, it is.
Because they got this big arena there right next to the elephant and all this noise and stuff, and there were other elephants there. Bamboo doesn't get along with other elephants. Bamboo only got along with Chai. And Chai and Bamboo went there. Well, Chai didn't last very long. Remember, she had the babies, you know, that died of herpes and all of that. And how long did Chai last at Oklahoma?
About 8 months, and she died of basically starvation and infection, both of which could have been treated and avoided, and she could have been saved. But the
she had too much. She had too much grief in her.
Infection. And emaciation, yeah. Which she was starved to death.
Yeah.
It didn't intentionally do it, but they did. They just did not pay attention to her medical condition, and we allege that, basically they let her die.
Yeah. Now, just a little sidebar here. I don't know if you heard that, Aline, but Natasha, what did you say about Chai?
She had so much grief in her being, in her body cells that. I think that, when there's that saying
nothing
that
would have helped her.
When you die of a broken heart,
mm-hmm.
She had that feeling to me.
Was that grief related to the loss of her babies?
And her life?
It was just general. Okay.
It was just general grief.
My body is vibrating, Aline, because this is confirmation from Natasha that the way we care for these elephants in captivity in zoos in this country. It's killing them. That's breaking their hearts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. That's why they have a much shorter. I mean, elephants live so many years less, almost half their natural lifespan in the wild. And elephants in zoos die, in their 20s and 30s and 40s. In the wild, female elephants are still having calves at 50. But, zoos will say, elephant Chai died at 37 years old. She's a senior. No, she'd still be having calves in the wild.
Yeah. Now, so 8 months after arriving in Oklahoma, Chai passes. Well, that was Bamboo's only friend, only elephant friend. So since then, that's the 5+ years. Bamboo, I think, has spent most of her time in isolation. She's been beat up by other elephants, had part of her tail bit off, and all that kinds of stuff. And she's been absolutely miserable. The first thing we've got to talk about is Aline, you have current updated information and can give us a current report on Bamboo and all of that. I just know that she's in my prayers every day. I send light, I send love, I send energy, but it's just such a sad situation. So what can you tell us about Bamboo currently?
Well, she's just, she's deteriorating. She's not doing well. Physically, she's doing horribly. Her legs give out. She's got, osteoporosis and all sorts of, I work with a veterinarian who reads all her medical reports. And so I don't even know what some of these things, keratosis on both hips. What I do know, she has chronic colic, which she has always had. Her mobility is greatly decreased, and that's because she doesn't move. And that is what we've been saying all along. Let her go to a sanctuary. Let her walk miles every day, and her physical condition will improve. I mean, that's true of all elephants, but especially her. Now, you know, you mentioned earlier that what was wrong with Woodland Park Zoo was the climate. And what that means is that, you know, we don't have a horrible climate, but what it means is that the elephants were locked away in a barren, tiny cell, as I call it, in the barn, and they can't move. And for 16 to 18 hours a day, they are locked up.
Well, but that was because of the temperature, right? You're talking about the weather? It was because it was too cold? They had to be locked up?
Right.
Right. So it's all because of the climate. It's not appropriate for them, and it required them to be, well, you said isolated in a cell for 16 to 18 hours a day at certain times of the year?
Yes, the Woodland Park Zoo. That's how long they were, you know. Basically, it also goes along with the keeper schedule. The keeper leaves at 4 or 5 o'clock, doesn't come till 7 o'clock in the morning. They're locked up that entire amount of time. And one of the elephants was always in isolation, and it was usually Watoto, actually. But and that's a whole story in itself, too. Her death could have been avoided, likely could have been avoided. But, you know, wild animals do not belong in zoos. Wild animals retain all their wild instincts, which are completely denied to them, and they suffer physically and psychologically. All wild animals do. Any animal you see at Woodland Park Zoo, I believe, is suffering, and any expert would tell you that as well. You know, you see it in their stereotypical behavior, and a zoo cannot recreate the complex ecosystem that these animals were born to live in. They simply can't. Yeah. And that's why, you know, zoos should move towards non-live animal exhibits. But, you know, there's big money in baby animals. So, you know, it's not happening anytime soon, unfortunately.
No, I know there may be some of you thinking, you know, why are you talking about what it was like to have the animals and how bad it was at Woodland Park Zoo? Why bring that all up again? Because it's over now. They're gone. Well, guess what, folks? That's one of the reasons why we're having this discussion, because that could change if we don't pay attention to what's going on right now. That's why Aline is here. After we finish talking about bamboo, you'll find out what is necessary here to make sure that we don't have elephants again. That's one of the reasons that this is going down. But gosh, and I know, I think you said something to me in the emails, Aline, that you suspect that Oklahoma is expecting bamboo to not live very much longer because of the way they're monitoring her.
They're doing a quality of life assessment, indicates that they, I guess, expect that maybe she's nearing the end. We have done a public disclosure request to get those, and so I'm still waiting. I don't have those yet.
All the records? Okay.
That was not included for some reason in our last public disclosure request, but we expect to get, you know, exactly what the findings are.
Do you know, Aline, if they're doing a quality of life assessment, what if their assessment is that it sucks? Do they ever euthanize elephants, or do they wait till they go down? Like, you know, do they let them make them just die on their own?
Oh, no, they euthanize elephants all the time.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's yes. I could rattle off a number of elephants that have been euthanized in the recent few, the elephant in the Portland Zoo, the famous older elephant. Him and it was like, no, even the people who worked, the keepers who worked with him said, no, it's not his time. But I think it reaches a point where even people at the zoo can't watch an elephant suffer any longer.
All right. Well, let's, since we have Natasha here, I like to take advantage of her. So, Natasha, if you tune in to Bamboo and the situation at the Oklahoma Zoo and stuff, I know it can't be a fun thing to tune into, but what can what can you tell us about it?
Tuning into elephants.
Ah, okay.
I struggle, and it's a personal struggle because I see them as our ancient timekeepers.
I can see the emotion and feel it in your voice.
I don't go there often, okay, honestly, because it's so
painful.
Painful. And if I go into these, and I do this regularly with a lot of different places,
mm-hmm,
that are so painful, if I go there, I can't do my daily work that I do.
Yeah.
And so with that, that to me, elephants are our ancient, they hold space of our ancient lands.
Mm-hmm.
They hold space of our ancient time. They know, they carry from female to female, from body to body, stories.
Mm.
They're like our old Native Americans and our old, you know, the people who just, they tell stories. And
they have an incredible intelligence and ability to communicate that we humans have not tapped into, is what you're saying.
No. It's ancient. And the people who understand them to the core are the ones that see this.
And we should be serving them and honoring them and caring for them properly, not putting them through all of this stuff. I appreciate you tuning in a little bit, and I can see how painful it is for you. But let's see, folks, that just makes Aline's point.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
and I'd like to add that we need to stop breeding elephants to
some
lifetime in zoo cages. That is just an abomination to purposefully bring in elephants into this world who will never, ever be released into the wild, which is the gold standard of conservation. All they're being bred for is to live in cages their entire life and suffer their entire life.
Yeah. It's a business. Zoos, it's a business, just like the schools are a business. It's all a business to the businessmen of the system. It's sad how we treat our children the same way. We treat our animals the same way. It's just a business.
The captivity industry breeds baby elephants and animals to bring in the people.
This is such a tough subject. And I appreciate Natasha that the discomfort in tuning in, but it was the point I was making a little earlier, why I can't watch the American zoo shows, mm-hmm, and so forth, because it's something that I've noticed all of my life. I got my first taste of it when I went to work for the first veterinarian when I was 15 and a half, could get my work permit. I was in tears most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn to close my heart to be able to. And I think that that's kind of been an evolution in traditional zoo type stuff, and why my skin crawls when I hear them referring to animals as collections
and specimens.
Because you see, that allows them to not love them, to not open their hearts, to not connect and feel what Natasha is feeling. Okay?
You know what?
Because,
I have to just interrupt you for
sure.
a second.
Sure.
In the hearing that we had over this agreement, the president and CEO of Woodland Park Zoo said that 400 animals a year are shipped out of Woodland Park Zoo. And I bet you people didn't even think twice about that who were listening in. But what I heard is 400 animals had their bonds broken, their families ripped apart, grief from being moved, losing friends. You just can't move 400 animals and not know that these animals suffer as a result of that.
Yeah.
But the captivity industry doesn't think that way.
Right, right. And just to finish up with elephants, and then we have to take care of advertisers here, so we'll have to time out for a moment. But remember when Natasha mentioned the incredible grief that Chai had experienced and all of that, and the reason that nothing was going to save her. She was just done here on planet Earth. She was so sad. A lot of that is because, see, what we do to these elephants. They are herd animals, but herd doesn't give them credit for the love of family and the tradition that goes on in the elephant world and the matriarch that's always there, and that, you know, the kids stay with the group and they're together for life, and they live decades and decades and decades beyond what they would in captivity. And they you know, and Natasha's tuning in to what goes, what we humans mostly are not aware of with them, and there's a much more incredible depth of being and soul and information in these animals, and it is upsetting them, and they don't want to, you know, be part of that. And Aline mentioned the agreement, and we started talking about the Woodland Park Zoo and the shipping out of the animals. That's pertinent to what we've got to talk about next. I think we have, we'll update you on Bamboo as we get more information, but, you know, she needs your prayers and support as long as she's there. We need to take care of advertisers, but then we've got to come back, and Aline will explain to us there's some kind of agreement between the city of Seattle and Woodland Park Zoo that is involved here. And this particular agreement comes up for renewal every so often. That's happening right now, and someone's messing up the detail, and some shenanigans could come in. And the kind of the bottom line is, if we don't listen to Elaine and do what she needs us to do and all of this, Woodland Park Zoo just might be able to bring elephants back, and because nobody else, we won't be able to do anything about it. So, and all kinds of more. So we're going to take care of our advertisers, then we'll come back and Elaine will explain this agreement and what the state of the art, what's going on now, and then how we can help. And if you want to start getting caught up, you can go to Martha Norwalk's Animal World on Facebook, because Aline sent us she wrote out a statement, and then all the contact people and so forth. So that's up on Facebook for you. Anyway, stay right where you are. Our guest today from NARN and Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants, Aline Fortgang, is here, and we will continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 11.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's A-N-A-N-D-A washington.org.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Alternative Talk 1150, the talk of the sound.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here until noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And let's see, we heard from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, all kinds of great stuff, classes and events going on at Ananda, and everything now is virtual as well as in person. Well, not everything's in person again, but most things are in person and or online. And it really makes it nice because you can participate. You can even do yoga from from your home, as long as, you know, as long as you can stream the or Zoom the class, and that's pretty convenient. So check them out, anandawa.org, anandawa.org. Jude Pontna, Whispering Dragon, we're holding the space for her, and she's working a couple of days a week again, Wednesdays and Fridays now, and she can work in person with you at the Whispering Dragon Center or do a remote treatment. Check her out at whispering-dragon.com, or you can give her a call, 206-706-2836. And if you need my services for behavior therapy or working with your crazy dog friends, I'm available, but I'm going home. I'm moving back into my house, so I'm a little busy for the next day or so, and we might play some phone tag. But call me. Just know we might play a little bit of phone tag for a couple of days while I'm moving back in. 360-217-7258. All righty, we are talking this hour. Oh, and by the way, Natasha Venter is here, and it is Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me and Talk With Your Animal Friends or Personal Awareness Coaching with Natasha. And we will have the 11 o'clock hour to spend with you and take your calls and questions and so forth. So plan for that. And otherwise, we're going to get back to our subject this hour, which is Aileen Fortgang. She is the co-founder of Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants and very active in NARN, Northwest Animal Rights Network. She has kept us up to date on the Woodland Park Zoo elephants, of which Bamboo is still alive at Oklahoma. We just talked about her and what's going on there. And gosh, Aileen, before we get back to our subject, I was trying to remember how long it's been since we've been on the air together. And am I right in remembering, I think we were talking about pandas the last time? Could that be true?
We did talk about the possibility of Woodland Park Zoo or Point Defiance Zoo bringing in pandas. There was an organization started. But I think that's fizzled out. And we also talked about the aquarium.
Oh, yeah.
Seattle,
that was
aquarium,
it.
Wanting to put in a shark tank.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, and, you know, in that time, I don't know if you know, but recently, Point Defiance Zoo and Aquarium went and captured, ripped an octopus right out of our Puget Sound waters.
Oh, no.
To put in a tank. Absolutely. Her name is Gertie. Isn't that cute? I mean, how...
They stole her from the sound?
The mindset of the captivity industry, to the gall, the audacity to steal a octopus right out of our local waters to put in a tank. What for? I mean, if you want to educate kids about octopus, you know, show them, you know, my teacher, the octopus, you know, show them, you know, anything. But don't capture a wild animal and put her in a tank.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were retrieving specimens from the sound.
Yeah, it happened about, I don't know, not even 6 months
All right,
ago.
So Natasha, do you talk to octopi?
Yes.
You talk and you turn into Gertie? Gertie, are you happy or not about this situation?
Kind of like, what just happened to me feeling?
Okay. So
this very smart being was very just, you know, into
so you
simplicity.
Do feel there's an innate intelligence in octopus. It's not just a pile of jelly with legs.
Oh, gosh, no. Oh, no.
They are intelligent beings.
Yes.
They have feelings.
Everything
has
feelings.
And this one is like, holy OMG, what just happened to my life?
Yes.
So that's what we're doing to these kids. You know, gosh, Aileen.
I mean, it's in simplicity. It's not like in us adult form. But it's that energy of it. And that's what I read as energy. And that energy is pretty, you know, I think that, you know, that's one thing that octopi do, though, is that they adapt.
Yeah, and I'm sure they will, and for all intents and purposes, it may look like it's adapted, but that's why, you know, it's so important that sometime that the zoo community awakens and realizes that these animals have consciousness and souls mm-hmm. just like we do. They're
Absolutely.
Just in animal suits, you know, and they need to be honored and cared for in that way. So speaking of that, I guess we better get back and tell everybody what's going on, because there's some kind of an agreement between the city and the zoo, and that this agreement has to be renewed every so many years. So
well,
can you
yeah.
explain
so,
to us so what's going on?
The history of it is 20 years ago, the city of Seattle handed over the keys to the zoo to the Woodland Park Zoological Society. In other words, they privatized what was a city zoo.
Ah.
And what came out of that was a 20-year agreement.
Okay.
The 20-year agreement is now up for renewal.
Oh, okay. All
That's
right.
what's going on. So we are very involved with the not only us, Friends of Woodland Park Zoo and Narn, but also the four neighborhoods that are affected by the zoo, that surround the zoo. They are also involved, and they have different requests or amendments to the agreement than we do. We're more animal oriented and funding oriented, and they're more neighborhood representation, the needs of the in other words, when the I don't know if you recall, there was a 4-story garage that was going to be built.
Right, yes.
Wanted to be built on parkland, on zoo parkland. And the neighborhoods fought it and won.
Yes, I remember
that. So things like that, or the zoo has ideas of perhaps putting in an event center in the zoo, and you can be sure the neighborhoods are going to fight that. They, the zoo is located in a single-family zoned area, so
right.
they don't want all this commercial activity. So anyway, they have different interests than us. Our interest, of course, is mostly animal-centric, and in the past agreement, there was a clause which said that the city had the authority to set policy over the disposition of the animals. And what this allowed is that when we were fighting for the elephants to go to sanctuary, Shamath Sawant, one of our city council members, went to the city attorney's office, got an ordinance written that would have directed Woodland Park Zoo to send the elephants to Paw Sanctuary in California. Now, that ordinance did not pass, unfortunately, because two of the city council members, Bruce Harrell and Sally Bagshaw, who previously indicated their support for sanctuary, voted
yeah,
no.
Sally Bagshaw bailed, and I couldn't believe she did that, but she's been on my list ever since.
So, as you said, not quite under the cover of night, but 2 days later, the elephants got shipped out to Oklahoma City Zoo by way of San Diego because they were driving straight into a storm, as you referenced earlier, and had to turn down to San Diego, where they were there for 30 days in quarantine and then shipped off to Oklahoma City Zoo. But anyway, getting back to this agreement. So the Zoological Society, or we can just call them the Society, who now, operates and manages the zoo, they took out that clause that gave the city that authority to set policy, meaning that the city, if this stands, the city cannot write an ordinance, a resolution, or the mayor cannot do an executive order for whatever reason. So we are fighting
like hell. So, see,
the
city couldn't do anything about it.
And Shama Sawant actually said she wanted to make it stronger. Lisa Herbold also seemed to indicate her support for this amendment to include it and make it stronger. So what we need people to do is voice their opinion that, yes, the city needs to have the public needs to have a say over the welfare of the animals through the city in this next agreement, which is another 20-year agreement with a 10-year option to extend, which means it could possibly be a 30-year agreement.
Wow.
So, and as we all know, people are becoming aware of wild animals being kept in cages and not so comfortable about that any longer. As a matter of fact, and stop me if I'm going too deeply into this, but attendance to Woodland Park Zoo has been, paid gate attendance to Woodland Park Zoo has been declining for well over a decade.
Mm.
In fact, yes, in fact, 2019's paid gate attendance, and these are people who open up their wallets, pay to go to the zoo because they support the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Paid gate attendance in 2019, which was the last full year before COVID hit,
mm-hmm.
was at the 2004 level. 2004.
Oh.
So in those 15 years...
So it was declining even before COVID.
Oh, gosh,
big
yes.
Big time, okay.
And even before the elephants were gone, because some people say, well, it's, the zoo attendance is declining because the elephants are gone. Oh, no. The
it
elephants
was happening
were gone
before.
In 2015. The attendance has been declining, well, as I just told you, in 2004, mm-hmm. you know, we have 2019's attendance was paid gate attendance was the same as 2004. And in those 15 years, our population has exploded in Seattle to the tune of 32%. So even though our city is more populous, paid gate attendance to the zoo has gone down, which is a clear indication that people are not supporting the zoo as they once did. They're not going to the zoo in the numbers they once did. And I say that it's because people have become aware and they're not comfortable with seeing animals lethargic, catatonic, you know, just bored and depressed
right.
in a cage.
Now, and also when you're saying that about this agreement, the clause that's been taken out gave the city and the public a way to be able to intervene and have say-so over what animals come and go and that sort of thing.
Well,
and that's what kind of opened the door so that there could be an ordinance and that it would have happened to direct Chai and Bamboo to a sanctuary. We
yeah.
just didn't have enough time for that. And they got him out of here before it could happen. But if Woodland, if the society gets their way and they take that clause out of this agreement, then there is no oversight with them, and they can do whatever they darn well please.
And
you listen to Aline. Yeah, but you listen to Aline saying the gate is down and how down it is. What do zoos do to bring up attendance? Anybody?
Have babies.
Have babies. Thank you, Natasha. So there's nothing stopping them from saying, let's bring in a baby elephant. Let's, you know, and all of this could come back because there's no oversight and we couldn't do anything about it. So
right.
that's why this is huge, Aline, right?
Point out that, you know, I believe it was Lisa Herbold, the council member from the West Seattle area, Lisa Herbold, I believe it was her who said, you know, the city has no desire to micromanage the zoo, nor do we. But, you know, one time in the 20-year agreement, expiring agreement, one time in 20 years, there was an ordinance to send the elephants to sanctuary, not to another zoo. So, you know, one time in 20 years is not micromanaging.
Of course.
The zoo just doesn't want to have any accountability and transparency to the public. That's what it comes down to. They want to operate in their own world regardless of how the public feels. And that's just not acceptable.
All right, everybody, we're going to take care of advertisers one last time in this hour. In the meantime, you can pop on Facebook, go to Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and then you'll see the post that Aline put together for us that tells us who to contact. So we're going to take care of advertisers. Then when we continue, Aline's going to explain to us what help she needs from us to help support so we can get this clause back into this contract and stronger, so that we have to make sure that the society cannot torture these animals anymore and that they have to start waking up and cleaning up their act. And the only way to do that is to support Aline and the work that they're doing. So stay right where you are. She's going to tell us how you can help straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Music.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
What do you want for your pet when it's not getting help for its troubles? Happiness for your pet and yourself. I'm Nels Rasmussen, spiritual healer. I've been helping pets and people to be happy again for over 40 years. You can learn more about me and my work at spiritualpetconnection.com. And you can have a free phone conversation with me by clicking the Contact Us button. Go to spiritualpetconnection.com now.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Bored with the other stations hammering away on the same old talking points? Try Alternative Talk 1150 and get some variety.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down the second hour of this week's edition. We heard wonderful from Nels Rasmussen again. Check him out at spiritualpetconnection.com. NuPro, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, supplements.com. It's their great dog supplement that's bringing back my Robbie Golden Retriever's coat. NuProSupplements.com. Check them out. And, of course, if you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on, love you to join our Animal World family of advertisers. We've got great rates. You can get links on the website and interviews on the show. So send me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or pick up your phone, give me a call, 360-217-7258. All righty, we are talking to Aline Fortgang from NARN and Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants. She's been explaining to us about this 20-year-old contractual agreement when the city of Seattle, that used to own the, you know, was in charge of the zoo, let it go private to the Woodland Park Zoo Society or whatever it is. And that 20-year agreement within which was a clause that gave the city some rights in terms of being able to oversee what the animals coming and going and kind of that sort of stuff. And that's what opened the door for the city to do an ordinance to force the zoo to send the elephants to sanctuary. Unfortunately, it took too long, and some of the city council members choked at the end, and so they stalled it, and they were able to get the elephants out of here to another zoo before that could happen. Well, if this clause is allowed to be dropped, isn't included and made stronger, then all of this could happen again. The zoo will have no oversight. We will have no say over the animals, and because they're losing money hand over fist, what do zoos do to get more people coming in? They get baby animals. And what do they think is the biggest draw? Baby elephants. We could easily have elephants again at the zoo in a torturous environment if we don't act on this. So, Aline, what can we do to help you?
Well, go to your Facebook page and just copy and paste the list of the city council members and their policy advisors. It's not the whole city council. What those addresses are, email addresses, are for the city council members who are on the Public Assets and Native Community Committee. Mm. That's the committee which which gets, you know, which is working on this agreement and will consider the different amendments that we supply to them. So we need, you know, we need these council members to be in favor of the amendments that we're proposing. You know, we have a number of amendments we're proposing, not just this. One of the amendments is to not increase our subsidy to the zoo. That's what the zoo wants. They want to increase the money they get every year from taxpayers. And our argument is that, well,
we don't
taxpayers
want to pay for it.
Are not going to the zoo like they were, so therefore funding should be commensurate and go down, just as paid gate attendance is going down.
I bet they loved hearing that.
Yeah, so, you know, the zoo always has their hand out for more money, and we're saying, no, it's time to not only not give them as much money, but, you know, we're proposing the first year to give them the same amount they got for the past 20 years, and then the next 10 years after that, reduce it. And, you know, we have the number. I'm not going to go into the numbers, but, you know, so... So that's our proposal, that it stay the same for 10 years and then go down the next 10 years instead of increase for the full 20 years. And our thinking also is that they need to tighten their belts. You know, it's just not a full money flow. When the city turned over the zoo to the Zoological Society, the idea was that the cost to the city of managing and operating a zoo would go down over time, not go up over time. So, you know, they need to do their part. And hopefully with less money, there'll be fewer animals. You know, that's our hope, that as funding from the city goes down, then they're less able to have as many animals there, because, you know, it costs money to have animals. I mean,
yeah, I the only thing, the only reason I might support taxpayer money going to the zoo would be if it was, you know, to improve habitat or to make the animals healthier or better or better. But, you know, that's not the priority of the zoo. They want more money. And so they're going to want more animals and more babies and all of that stuff.
Hey, listen, the president of Woodland Park Zoo makes over $400,000. I think it's $439,000. I mean,
wow.
You know, for a nonprofit making that much money, but, you know, zoos pay their people a lot of money. And the top officers, all, you know, they're all making over $200,000,
$300,000.
I mean,
for what? Jeez.
Well, that, you know, I'd like to know that too, but, you know, that's what I guess I have to pay in order to lure their fundraising officers and their other officers and their CEOs and COOs and all that. But you know, the thing of it is, let them tighten their belt and live within the budget as the city forks over less money.
Yeah,
that's our, you know, the city has much greater priorities than funding the caging of wild animals. We do. We have much greater priorities. I'm sure everybody would agree with that.
Now, I could see also a special fund going to the zoo dedicated to, I forget what you call it, but going to an animalless zoo or to upgrade the technology for the, you know, the videos and all the things so you could create an animalless part, you know, part of the zoo, and moving towards that, I could see supporting something like that.
Well, moving away from
the traditional zoo.
We support the zoo moving towards a zoo sanctuary model.
Yeah,
and that would be great. I mean, a zoo sanctuary, and I visited one in California. They do not breed wild animals. They do not move animals. Once an animal's there, the animal stays there for life. So no broken bonds, you know, breaking up families. And every cage has the story of why the animal is there and why the animal cannot be released into the wild. And that is how we teach children respect for animals.
I love that idea.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
And Natasha works with children in the school system. So, yeah, so that you really like, that feels really good to
that
you?
That's feels excellent. Good because there's so many kids that on the playground I actually say, why did you walk over and squish that spider? Was it spider hurting you? You know, it's like I'm teaching
the kids
daily that, you know, that I understand if something's right on you. That's another story. But you walked over to that animal.
Right.
You know? And so it is about teaching.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, that spider has a place in the ecosystem.
Exactly.
He eats mosquitoes that don't bite you because he eats mosquitoes. So he's helping you.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the language I get. And kids kind of go, they twist their head a little bit, twerk their head a little bit and go, oh, I didn't see that perspective necessarily because, somebody in their family was really scared of spiders and taught them to squish them,
So
it's just one of those things that, it is about bringing, the bigger picture in that everything has a soul.
Yep.
Everything has emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has its purpose. And there are some animals that have a purpose to be in zoos to teach. I have an understanding of that.
And those are the animals down there. And where is that place in California, Aline?
It's in Folsom, California.
Folsom. The animals that are at Folsom, though, they are there to teach and
yes.
all of that.
And I was up in Alaska one time, and we went to one of those sanctuaries or the zoo sanctuaries, and they were talking about why this hawk was in captivity and that kind of thing. So it was rewarding to be there.
Yeah.
And the only animals that find themselves in a zoo, in a sanctuary zoo, are animals that have been injured and can't be released back into the wild, animals who were confiscated, like in a backyard, exotic, somebody has a tiger in their backyard, let's say a bobcat or something that has attacked a person or an animal and either is euthanized or goes to the sanctuary zoo. So, I mean, they're not bred to be there. They're there because they cannot, for some reason, cannot stay in the wild or be in the wild. And that's how we teach them, kids, respect. Going to a zoo and seeing a baby lion that was just bred is teaching kids that we can do what we want with wild animals. We're a dominant species that we can have them suffer their whole lives, and that's okay because we can do it, we can.
So we need to teach the respect, and that's a great place to end, which we have to because we're almost out of time in this hour. So I want to finish up here. Thank you, Aline, for filling us in on all of this. And folks, it's time, especially if you're in Seattle, you need to go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World. It is the first post under the show description. There is a picture of Bamboo in jail, so you'll know when you see the elephant behind bars.
That's Chai. I sent you Chai.
Oh, is that Chai? Is it Chai behind bars?
Yeah.
Now, Aline has written out exactly what this is about. There is a full list of all the email addresses to the city council and the others that we need to inform, and she even tells you what to write. There's a little paragraph of what to exactly say that will make this point about that clause in the agreement. So everybody go to Martha Norwalk's Animal World, see this post from Aline, and do that little paragraph and send it off to everybody on this email list.
Yeah, copy and paste.
Copy and paste. All righty. Aline, thank you so much. And will you stay in touch? Keep me posted on Bamboo. Keep me posted on this. And you let me know when we need to do updates on the air, okay?
Okay, thank you. I will. Thank you so
blessings
much for
to
having
you.
Me on.
Blessings to
God
you.
God bless, Aline. Thank you
Bye.
For the
thank
wonderful
you.
Work you do. Bye-bye. All righty. Guess what time it is? It's time to dance and energize us up for the rest of the hour and the day. And I energize up the love train with a yogi energization prayer. And, I was going to tell you, in last hour when I did the love train, I got a couple. And we know they talk about England and Africa and Egypt and all that stuff. And I've been adding in Afghanistan and India. You know what I got today to add? Mexico and Honduras.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might have to do with what's going border stuff. But
yes.
I got send to Mexico and Honduras. So add them when you're sending the love around. All right. So here we go. We're going to energize up. And then dancing is required. But you can dance in your head. You can dance in your bed. You can dance in your chair. You can dance anywhere. Or you can get up on your feet and dance with us. I'm going to come cruise through your house, pick you up for the love train. So let's spread the love. And here we go. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth, a body and mind, abide in us forever and forever via the love train. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
And just remember, our phone lines are now open to take your calls so you can speak with Natasha and Martha. So is the email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com.
Send us pictures.
Send us your pictures of your animal. And, of course, you can send us a message, too, and we'll get your phone calls here at the station, 425-373-5527, or toll-free, 888-298-5569. We'll be right back here after the Love Train on Martha Norwalk's Animal World.